Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday afternoon or Monday morning, whenever you're joining us. Thank you for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're enjoying a great Labor Day at home, I hope there are some steaks on the grill for you today. Whatever you're making, beef will always make it better. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. Great to see so much state script and interlocking MSU down in Hattiesburg on Saturday. The word is out. The new logos are where it's at. If you're still wearing the banner M, you're not doing it right. So go to College Corner today and pick up a new some new gear. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowa by the Half Shell, or you can always shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. I will be making a trip to Restaurant Tyler this week. It's been too long since I've been there, and I'm going to go get some lunch there. And Robbie Falk, I would love to invite you to join me if we can make
that happen. We better do that before this weekend. I really love doing it on Sundays.
Yeah, but it's going to be this one is going to be a little different.
I think it's going to be tough.
Everybody's
for the
back.
Crowd.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. We'll go grab some lunch there one day this week, and we encourage you to do the same. Why? Not just because they sponsor us, just because we're trying to get you to eat at the best restaurant in town. That's Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need to talk to a bank that knows you as well as they know your money, a bank that provides personal level of service. That's only what you're going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State 34, Southern Mississippi 17, a game that was in doubt and then was never in doubt, all in the same time. A much better performance from the Bulldogs in the second half, and they put the game away, put it on ice, and moved to 1-0, and now heading right into a massive game at home Saturday night when Arizona State comes to town. What do we think? What do we got to take away from this? Oh, I don't know. Tell them, Falk.
Well,
we are so back. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, we have not been able to do it that way.
Yeah.
In a very long time, and not just because it's been a season, a year almost since we've done the show, because Mississippi State just has not won very often.
I hate to interrupt.
Okay.
But I just got to read you this joke. Somebody on an Alabama board is saying we need to put a hooker or cocaine in DeBoer's. In his room, and it says, if DeBoer had a hooker on cocaine in his room, he'd probably talk her to sleep.
Oh, my God.
Just want to throw that in.
Alabama Online?
I don't know where it is, but that's just funny. I don't care who you are. Continue.
Anyways, we've not been able to do the well. Like
we did not. We went through 11 weeks of it last year.
Yeah. Hoping that's going to be a more prominent feature of the show.
Let's hope.
We're human beings, Brian. We have proven that time and time again.
Yeah.
We're not robots.
No.
So, yesterday, before this game, I met Dima Mixon on the sidelines.
Dima Mixon,
who did the show last week.
Yeah,
and
good kid.
Great guy. Really enjoyed talking to him before the game, and he had kind of asked me my thoughts on it.
Tyler Horka's twin brother.
He looked like a younger Horka.
It's crazy.
He looks like Horka's brother.
Yeah.
His younger brother.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he was asking me my thoughts on the game, and I kind of echoed what I had said on the show for the three P's. I thought it was going to be close in the first half. I told him I thought it would be 17-14, something like that. Mississippi State on top.
Mm-hmm.
The first half played out exactly like I thought it was going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe not the exact things happening the way that it did, but it was a close game and State was struggling and Southern Miss had some juice. Mm-hmm. And still, you and I and everybody in the fan base, we were all losing our collective, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
because it looked like Mississippi State was just more of the same from last year. I give Jeff Lebby and these players a ton of credit for what happened in the second half. Now, what they did in this game, if you look at it, I actually predicted the score
You
exactly to a
nailed it.
T. I don't remember if that score I used on the show,
I don't think
but
you use the
it
same
was
score on the show,
something
but
like that.
yeah.
But before the game, when we did our predictions on Maroon and White Daily, my prediction was 34-17. So this game played out like I thought it was going to play out. State struggles in the first half. They take care of business in the second half. Southern Miss scores a late touchdown. You said the same thing. So
I had Southern a little better off. I had stayed a little worse defensively than they were.
So I'm not going to just sit here and praise Mississippi State for doing what we thought they would do, but they deserve credit here. They did what they needed to do. State came into this ball game. They needed to come out. They're going up against a team, and I know it's Southern Miss. I know they were 1-11 last year, but this is essentially Marshall's team from last year that won the Sun Belt Championship. They lost some big pieces from that group, but they brought in a ton of players from that team, 20, that helped them win a championship. And one of them was Braylon Braxton, who's a very difficult quarterback to defend. And outside of a freak touchdown play in the second quarter, Mississippi State essentially shut him out. They scored a field goal in the first half on a
On a three-play, 3-yard drive, basically.
drive that the defense had nothing to do. They stopped him there after the interception.
Right.
And then a tip ball that was caught for a touchdown that actually it should have been intercepted by
Should have been
Mississippi
intercepted.
State. Outside of that, the only score that they just went and got was with 1 minute left in the ball game against the fourth team Mississippi State defense. Mississippi State did not do this against really anybody last year.
Right.
They didn't look like this against anyone. And I'm not counting Eastern Kentucky.
No,
So
you're right.
the defense looked much improved. They looked deeper. In the first half, they struggled a little bit, and that, we can discuss as the show goes on why that might be. But offense, there's obviously some kinks that have to be worked out. But the second half, them kind of sticking to a game plan, figuring things out with a rushing attack, and I think started to look a little more comfortable in the offensive line when they had Albert Reese at right tackle and Jimothy Lewis at left tackle. I thought that the second half is exactly what you wanted to see. So I'm chalking up the first half as nerves, jitters, the first game of the season. I think it's very noticeable that this team is better. I don't know if they win this game last year, the way that they played.
Right.
And I think the defense is deeper. The defense is more talented. I think that there's obviously some things they got to get better at, but they needed to leave this game with a comfortable win, with some positivity going into what is a massive week. I don't think I can understate how big this week is for Jeff Lebby. And I think at this point we can say this is the biggest home game they've had maybe since Florida in 2018. So this is exactly how it needed to happen for Mississippi State. You could have easily won this ball game by five touchdowns. They didn't take care of business on a couple of touchdowns that got called back and had an interception drive. It could have been much worse. State clearly looked like the better team. That's what had to happen, and it did. So I think if you're a State fan, you should be happy. I think you can be concerned about some things, but you should be happy about what happened on Saturday, and you should be certainly excited going into this week. And the most important thing, and Steven, your cousin, he reiterated this point. I made this point earlier this week when talking about this game, my final thoughts post that I put up on our site. I talked about the idea of having hope. And for Mississippi State fans, it might not be that this year your aspirations are that you're going to go to the college football playoff.
Right.
You want to have hope as long as you possibly can this year that something big can happen.
Right.
And you survived a week of that. Now you get another week of having hope. And
Yeah.
that might sound pathetic to some people, but where Mississippi State is right now as a program, to have hope for a second week is big. And if you win this game, you have hope for a third week, and
Yeah.
then you have hope for a fourth week, and then you go into a Tennessee game that's going to be absolutely massive. This week could set the tone for what could be a huge month for Mississippi State, and it started on Saturday. Let's see if they can keep it up.
I'm looking at the I was looking at YouTube. I just wanted to see the view count for my post game show. And this the screen, the thumbnail of your press conference with Lebby, it looks like he's yelling at you.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was going to change that, and then I was like,
leave
no.
It all. Don't change it at all. Don't change it at all.
Leaving it.
That's fantastic. Like, he looks like he is legitimately like, Robbie, you piece of garbage.
And to your point on that, I think you had told me when I got back up to the press conference, that had been up for like an hour, and you almost had 1,000 views on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're almost 3,000 now.
Yesterday, our
site,
yeah,
about that, yeah.
Our site was top 10 on the network in paid in, well, I don't know if it's paid views or what. Traffic is what we were told. And the people that we were competing against on this was War Chant, which is Florida
Florida
State,
State, yeah.
Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee.
Alabama had a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I know. So
if
you thought that Mississippi State fans weren't invested,
yeah,
a Southern Miss game, game one of the season, had our site top 10 on the entire network.
Yeah.
State fans are ready. They're ready to get back into this. I think they're going to show out on Saturday too.
Yeah, yeah, appreciate all you guys out there consuming the content that Robbie and I have been putting out the past couple weeks. Honestly, our podcast numbers have been really big these past
and
few
this
weeks.
This one will be too.
This week fired. Coming up is going to be a good one. So, really good stuff. That said, it is now time for the first time in the 2025 season. I must tell you that these are the things that are true. Presented by our friends over at Bell Building Supply, back with us for another year. Glad to see one of our favorite local Starkville businesses staying on board with us. Guys, if you're cooking out, it's Labor Day, guys. You should be working the grill. I hope you are working the big green egg. And if you aren't, our friends at Bell Building Supply can get you one. Not today. It's Labor Day. We're taking the day off. But this weekend, absolutely that can happen. They are Starkville's platinum big green egg dealer. I have an egg. It is a cooking machine. Once you tune that thing in, brother, you can go sit down. Sit on the couch. Set a timer, and when it's done, it's done. It gives you all the ease and convenience of a pellet grill, but you still have the fun of live fire cooking. I love my green egg. I use it all the time, and you should too. Go see our buddy Wes at Bell Building Supply today to find out what he can do for you and get you a big green egg in your backyard.
And they sell more than eggs.
Oh, they sell a lot more.
They actually are a building supply.
Yes,
like they.
But that's no fun.
They put my windows
that's
in,
work.
All my doors.
Nobody wants that. Yeah, I were
no. All Haydad's thinking about what can get me the best smoked meat possible.
That's usually what's on my mind at all times. We're going to be talking about Bell Building Supply throughout the year, and you can find out more of the great services that they offer there. Like as Robbie said, not just to stop to get you a new grill.
Hey, that's mouse watering over here.
I mean, I like barbecue. What can I say? I got 10 things that are true this week. Here we go. Number one, we'll give a shout out to Southern Mississippi as well. Both of these teams are much improved from the season ago. If that state team plays last year's Southern Miss team, they win 60-0.
Yep.
If that Southern Miss team plays last year's state team, they might have won the game. Both of these teams are a lot better. Huff got the thing going in the right direction. I don't know if they'll be a bowl team or not. They got a big game, not this weekend, but next weekend with App State at home. If they can win that, they're off and running. Mississippi State, its big game is this weekend. We'll talk more about that. But both of these teams were a lot better. They both were good in the transfer portal, and it showed, in my opinion.
I hope that Southern Miss fans fully invest in that program.
They should.
I was a little surprised by the crowd yesterday.
It was a little disappointing. They're just still getting around.
It was the biggest crowd they've had in a while, but a lot of that was Mississippi State fans. There were a lot of empty seats there.
Yeah, it was surprising.
And you know, I understand that the program has just not been on solid footing for quite some time. But there's a lot of things that they need to do to invest in that program. They need to upgrade their facilities over there. They need to show that they care a little more, and a lot of them do, and I think that those people should be commended. But there's a lot of people that just they have got to go all in on this to make this work. And so, as another program in the state of Mississippi, I would like to see that happen for them. But I think this year, with the talent that they have, certain spots, Hey, Josh Moten would immediately be State's top corner, in my opinion.
Yeah, he played really well.
He's
Yeah,
fantastic.
I mean, you can see why State wanted to get him.
Yeah,
Yeah, no
and
question.
they have
They
players
have some players.
that I think are going to. I think Jeffrey Pittman's going to be a
Well,
star
he'll
if
be
he's
good
coming
for
back.
them. I thought that the receiver Chester was
Chester's
good,
good.
and Braxton's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, they're going in the right direction there. All right, number two. Chapter one of State's book was, are they better? The answer is yes, they are better. There can't be any doubt about that. You mentioned it a few minutes ago. The way State played in this game defensively, they didn't play like that against anybody last year. They completely bottled up USM's running game. They forced a turnover off of a quarterback who doesn't give up a lot of turnovers. They got pressure on the quarterback. They looked totally different there. On the offensive side of the ball, there were some issues, especially in the first half, but in the second half, they ran the ball at will. They seemed to figure something out on the offensive line in the second half, and they are clearly a better team. Number three is chapter two will be read this Saturday, and that chapter is entitled, Are They Good? We'll know if they're good on Saturday. They're better, but better might only mean 3-9 or 4-8. It really can mean that. But if you win this Saturday, you're good. And I think I will go on the record and say if they win Saturday, they'll be a bowl team. They'll find two more wins in this season. I truly believe that. But I saw there were enough concerns, and we'll talk about one of them in just a second. There were enough concerns that you can say, I'm not going to sit here and say today, especially, that, oh, yeah, they're clearly going to beat Arizona State. They got a lot of work to do. I'm sure Jeff Lebby would agree with us. Number four is something I think you and I talked about the most up in the press box on Saturday, and that's O-line at play is a concern we should have seen coming. I think we kind of, I don't know if we missed it or not. We said we were concerned that these guys were going to gel, and it was obvious that they had not gelled as much as they needed to. The first half, especially.
I think it was a concern. We just didn't. We didn't know the
We maybe
depth of
we
it.
did we didn't highlight it enough,
Well,
maybe.
I think it was always just kind of like, I mean, if the offensive
Yep,
line does
yeah.
this.
And they didn't. So I hate to say somebody got the play got better after an injury, but they did play better when Steen came out and they moved Albert Reese to right tackle. I think you and I both agreed that Jimothy Lewis at left tackle, he's fine. He's fine. Just let him out there, let him learn, let him grow, and let him develop. Flapjack Owens was like a pretty good player. He was good. I
I
thought
thought the
Cannon Boone.
interior was
The
fine.
interior was fine. The tackle play was a little shaky, but Reese was better at right tackle than Steen was. But you were asking two guys who didn't practice the spring with you to come in and start right away. That was, and they were on the same side of the line too. That was always going to be a problem. I don't know that I don't, just from me, I don't think that I was emphatic enough of what kind of problem it was going to be. The good news is I think it's fixable. I think they can get better. They played okay at the end of it. They had what almost over 400 yards of offense. They can continue to get better.
So, Jimothy didn't grade out particularly strong, but that's a little bit. It's not. It doesn't tell the full story because that takes into account, I think, penalties and
Yeah.
things like that, I believe. So, I think that you certainly saw why there was some concern with him and the coaching staff. They lit into him a couple times too
Yeah.
on the sidelines, but I saw enough from him. I'm willing to just kind of, and I had made this point earlier in the week too to people is like I think that the coaches just didn't feel maybe when they started Reese, maybe they probably didn't feel he was ready to be just like pushed in there and start the first drive or two, but it was obvious he was the left tackle, he was in their plans to be the left tackle. The reason I think it was obvious is because after the third possession, we never saw Albert Reese again. And I didn't think Albert was the
Until the injury.
at left tackle. I didn't think Albert was bad at all as far as, the first couple of possessions. I didn't see a lot of issues with him there. I just think that was kind of like, hey, let's get Albert out there first, let Jimothy watch a couple of possessions, and then we'll get Jimothy in there. And Albert, he actually was one of the top graded guys in the offensive line. Jacoby Jackson was the top graded offensive lineman. Well, actually, Cannon Boom is top graded offensive lineman. The interior I thought was really good. Cannon Boone and Zach Owens and Jacoby Jackson were your top three offensive linemen. That's not that big of a
Yeah.
stretch.
Yeah.
And then,
As you mentioned, the interior.
yes. But Albert had 50 snaps in the ball game, and let's see what Jimothy had. Jimothy had 72. So if you take away what Albert was when Albert came in the game at right tackle, Jimothy was overwhelmingly the guy.
Yeah.
So I think that it's clear to me that Jimothy's been the plan at left tackle, and maybe he's been a little bit shaky the last few weeks, and they wanted
They just want to
to.
be sure.
I don't know if it's to push him a little bit more or to be sure, but from a just a pure like technique standpoint and all that stuff, I think he is fine enough to put out there at that position. And this is probably the time to do it with him, to let him get in the fire and things like that. I didn't really know how he'd react to that. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't a great game by any means because he made some mistakes, whipped a couple of times. But from a pure talent standpoint, he's going to be fine. I think they're going to be fine in the middle. They didn't make hardly any changes in the middle in this game. Those guys played for the
They
majority of
played
the
the
ball game,
majority of the game.
and I thought that they were
They were good.
perfectly fine.
They were good.
Right tackle and left tackle. Right tackle specifically looks like it might be a bit of a concern if Albert can't perform, but it looks like he's probably going to be
Yeah, I thought
fine.
he was really good at right tackle.
I don't know what the deal was with Blake Steen. I don't know what that was, but he just did not have a good
Did not
game.
play well.
If they do not fix these issues, and some people came after me because in the first half I said this looks like a massive concern. They weren't pushing people around. The penalties were ridiculous. You know, it was formational penalties. It was false starts. They wiped out a touchdown. It just was. It was ugly. I think they'll get better. But if they don't, you're not going anywhere this year. And I like that it's a hard concept for people to grasp. Like just because you won the ball game doesn't mean there's things that you can't fix. And they think we're being negative. Do you think Phil Loadholt is sitting in the film room tomorrow and saying, "Guys, we won the game. Who cares?
Yeah.
There's nothing to." No, Phil Loadholt is going berserk right now. I can promise you that. They were screaming at Jimothy Lewis on the sidelines after a touchdown. Jeff Lebby spoke about this post game about the issues on the offensive line. They had to get that stuff fixed. Folks, it's okay to say that things are not going well at a certain position and it not be considered overreactions or things like
Or
that.
negativity.
This is something that Mississippi State has got to fix
Yeah.
to do what you want to do. And these coaches, I guarantee you, in the film study, are blasting every single tiny thing that's going wrong. So if you think I'm being negative or Brian's being negative or anybody's overreacting, I really would love for you to sit in a film session because I've sat in a film session before, especially with offensive line coaches. It ain't pretty, even in games where they've dominated. So just understand it was great to get the win. But there were some concerning things in this game with the offensive line,
Yeah.
and it's got to get better. You got a good running game, but your running game cannot be what you want it to be without this unit being
They
cohesive.
go hand in hand, no
And
doubt.
we cannot. You can't grasp the fact that like all five guys have to have cohesion. You can't just throw those guys onto the field and immediately expect it to happen. So I fully understand that this has got to play out. They've got to be able to be playing as a unit for a few games, but it's got to happen a lot quicker than you want it to. And that's starting this week. I mean, they got to be a lot better on Saturday.
Speaking of the running game, number five, Devon Booth and Fluff Bothwell, they needed about a total of 8 to 10 more carries. State's splits yesterday was 40 rushes, 37 passes. I would have rather it been 50-27. I just thought State had the advantage there. You go back to that sequence in the first half that we talked about a lot, where State hands it off to Booth and he breaks off a couple of long runs and gets State down into outside the USM 30. And then from that point on, State threw, I think, five or six straight passes and went, they ended up having to kick a field goal on that drive. And then on the next drive, they go three and out because they just don't, they got away from running the football. We said going into this game, and I think Lebby said it, I know that Huff mentioned it in one of his interviews they did with him on the sidelines.
State was the bigger, stronger team. Big people did, in fact, move little people. And State had that advantage, and I just don't think they took enough advantage of it. Booth and Bothwell are your best two offensive guys. I like Brennan Thompson, but Booth and Bothwell can carry this offense. They needed more carries than they got yesterday.
I feel like sometimes coaches, and like specifically offensive coaches,
they get away from stuff.
They feel like they got to open up their bag.
They don't.
Sometimes you just look at a team and you got to do what Dan Mullen did at Florida in 2010 and just say, hey, maybe I just need to run the ball here.
Yeah.
And it was that third possession, I think it was. And even Blake Steen was just washing people out on the right side. And they were gashing Southern Miss right down the field. And I think State ended up stalling on that drive because they came out and they were running. It was the field goal drive. They came out and they started throwing screen passes and swing passes and things like that. And you just were gashing them for 10, 12 yards of carry. And I don't want to be the run the dang ball guy, just run it up the middle. Like, I understand there's nuances to that conversation. Defenses change their look.
Right.
They make it.
But when you have the physical advantage the way State did yesterday, you can probably overcome even a loaded box most times.
Yeah. I mean, at least, the next play, let's see if it works again.
Yeah, I mean, I'll maybe not run Booth again. He's just broken off two good runs. Maybe go give Bothwell a carry. But those are the two guys that are going to make or break this team this year, in my opinion. They need the ball.
And in the second half, I felt like
they did recognize that.
Yes. But they definitely, you look at the numbers overall on Saturday and what happened in this game. Da'Vonne Booth rushed 16 times, and Fluff had 10 carries. I just felt like by the fourth quarter, we were going to see Booth and Bothwell and Daniels just absolutely stomping Southern Miss's linebackers and defensive backs and wearing them down. And you just didn't see that as much. They did, it felt like they did increase their usage. But Fluff, I don't know if he even rushed the ball in the first quarter.
I think he had one. They gave him the third series, so I think he got.
Yeah, but I don't know if he had a rush.
I'd have to go back and look. Yeah.
So it's just a situation where, I feel like they did this last year too. They start off the first possession, they have success, and then all of a sudden, they go away from him. Fluff had one carry in the first quarter for 2 yards.
Yeah.
And
got to get him going.
Da'Vonne Booth had four.
Yeah.
39.
Yeah.
It feels like they get away with something that works. Now, a lot of people said, why didn't they throw the ball down the field more? I think that was an adjustment by Southern Miss.
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of those opportunities much after that big play to Seydoux.
Yeah.
So I give them credit for adjusting. I just didn't see that there.
That
play is always there.
Yes.
It's just whether or not you can get the ball to those players.
The play that bothered me the most was a lot of the east-west passing, those long passes out to the line of scrimmage. Those will not be there in SEC play.
They did that a lot last year.
Yeah, too. And they weren't there in SEC play. They just, you're getting a catch for maybe a yard. It's a dangerous play.
I just don't know if you have a lot of guys this year that are capable of, like a Kevin Coleman, that are capable of taking those plays and turning those into 50-yard bursts.
Thompson looked like he could on that one play.
Yeah, Thompson. I don't know how many of those players are there. Anthony Evans, he can do it.
He had a couple moments. I thought Aiden Williams, they gave him a couple of easy catches. You said that in the press box. So that's what he needs. Just get the ball in his hands.
Confidence.
So,
all right, he dropped that pass earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So just giving him some intermediate plays where he can just get it in the system.
Yeah. Number six. The biggest elephant in the room for State coming into the season was the defense. They look a lot better. They look a lot better. I think 100 yards and seven of the points were against the third team. You go back to that final drive where USM scores, Braylon Braxton's still in the game for the Golden Eagles, but State's got its third-teamers guys. We have freshmen and guys who aren't going to play very much this year. Redshirt candidates were in there. And, of course, as you mentioned, 3 points for Southern Miss came on a drive that started at the Mississippi State, 25-yard line, something like that?
Yeah.
And State
three and out.
That's all you can do. That's all you could do as a defense.
Two great defensive plays, by the way.
Yeah.
Actually, really three great defensive plays, but two big pass breakups.
We'll talk about that. Talk about that in a second. First, talk about that in just a second of the season. I thought Will Whitson
He looks like the cream of the crop as far as the cream of the crop.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I mean, four tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and a sack. That'll play all day long. I think State needs to tighten up some of its rotations. They're playing Southern Mississippi. They knew they were going to win. They could afford to play a bunch of guys. I'd like to see this week maybe that's a little bit tighter. You don't need as many guys. I'll tell you a guy who impressed me and you was DJ Reed.
Yeah.
No expectations of him whatsoever. He was bullying Southern Mississippi's right tackle the whole time he was in.
He put the right tackle in the quarterback's lap two plays in a row.
Yeah, he put him on skates. And, we were both, and I think you and I both said, who is that? And we had to look at the number, and we were like, was not expecting to say his name today. But that's great.
I thought the pass rush, I would have liked to see a little bit more.
But it was definitely better.
It's kind of like the big plays down the field.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that was Mississippi State's game plan to not push Braxton out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always hated the, you know, State's saving this. I'm not saying that. I think it was just the game plan that they did not want to pressure Braxton to take off and run,
mm-hmm.
and more so keep him neutralized in the pocket. So I wonder how much of that was playing into it. And I haven't gone back and watched or anything like that, but how many times last year did we watch this team? And like the first, like when they get the, when the team runs the football, the first time you see Mississippi State hit the player was 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. That didn't happen much yesterday. Mm-hmm. State had a hat on a hat and was getting penetration in the backfield against the run all night long, day long.
They
did a really good job of plugging the run yesterday, which was a problem for them last year.
As you mentioned, they did not do that against anybody last year.
No.
We go back to that Eastern Kentucky game. Eastern Kentucky was able to run the football relatively effectively against Mississippi State. Yesterday, Southern Miss could not.
And they did it with a three-man front, mostly.
Yeah, so
I thought run defense was pretty good. They did get some pressure at times. I do wonder how much of that was in the game plan to keep him more in the pocket because he's not so much a great pocket passer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coverage, the defensive backfield was fantastic.
Let's talk about that. Number seven, there are reactions and then there are overreactions. Let's not overreact and say State's corners are just going to be good all year. But we can react and say they played really well yesterday. I thought Brumfield and Kelly Jones were excellent yesterday. Jones did give up one big catch, but that was a great throw and a great catch down to the goal line. I thought the coverage was there. He just, you know, the guy makes a play.
Mossed him.
Yeah, I thought by and large they were really, really good for Mississippi State last year and yesterday, and that's not something we were expecting. You know, I thought that was going to be a big issue. I thought that they were really good, and you know, especially you think about game time, we find out Jet Jefferson's not going to be able to play. Did you get an update on him afterwards?
He didn't say what the injury was or how long he's going to be out, but he made a point to say Luke Work will be back this week. He feels confident he'll be back this week.
Mm-hmm.
And
he did not say that for Jet Jefferson?
No.
Okay, so we'll see. Jet Jefferson was on a scooter, so he might be out.
I don't think this is going to be like season-ending or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
might be out a few weeks.
Him rolling around a scooter was not a good sign.
Yeah, you don't want that.
But I think that we feel a lot more confident in Diego Broomfield.
He played really well yesterday. So I'm not going to overreact and say that problem solved or anything like that, but I will react and give them the props that they deserve.
I think you can say they played a great game.
Yeah, you can. Number eight, more props. We got to give a big shout out to a record setter yesterday, Kyle Ferry, who we have developed a rivalry with here on Thunder and Lightning.
Not me.
Yeah, it's just me. It's just me.
Kyle and I are friends.
Yeah, just me. But 55-yarder, school record. Did not realize. This is a couple years in a row where the past years, it's like State's broken a record, and I was like, oh, yeah. It was 2 years ago when they beat Louisiana Tech when they came back. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the biggest comeback in school history. I didn't think about that. And then this, breaking Artie Cosby's nearly 40 or over 40-year-old record against Memphis, Kyle Ferry against Southern Mississippi, 55-yard field goal. I mean, you're going to have drives that stall. To have a guy that you can trust from 55 is big for Mississippi State this year.
You motivated him.
I you know what? I don't want to take all of the credit, but I will take some of the
I
credit.
I'm gonna motivate him too. Last week I tweeted out the depth chart and I completely
Good
missed that
weapons.
the special teams was down at the bottom and
Yeah.
I cut it out just for it just looked better when I cropped it. And he tweeted at me and was like, "Man, what you left the special teams out on here." And so I told him before the game yesterday, I was walking the sidelines and he was just hanging out, sitting down on the bench. I said, "I will tweet about you today, Kyle. I will tweet about you. I can promise you that." And he nails the longest field goal in school history.
There you go.
State has a kicker. They've had a kicker since he was a freshman. I've never been truly concerned about Kyle Ferry. Maybe like early on that year before he had gotten in there. But I mean, first week he was SEC Freshman of the Week.
Yeah.
So he's been just super steady. I think he's
Should
missed
I
one extra point.
gotta look, but he should be SEC Special Teams Player of the Week this week. 55-yard field goal.
Yeah.
School record. He had two field goals and four extra points.
And that was a record for at least for an opponent at Southern Miss
Gotta be,
in
yeah.
that
Yeah, there
stadium.
you go. Yeah.
So yeah, it was
Hook him up, SEC.
it was and it had plenty of room to spare too. I mean,
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah,
yeah.
he didn't just sneak it over. Number nine. You taste that in your mouth right now? You know what that is? That's the sweet taste of hope, brother. It tastes so good on my tongue. I want to feel the juice spill down my chin. There is as much hope we've going into Saturday as we've had in quite some time here in Starkville, and as much as you could possibly expect to have. Not only does Mississippi State look completely competent, look maybe better than you expected defensively, Arizona State was not overly impressive in an FCS game. They beat Northern Arizona 38-19.
They were way more impressive first game last year against Wyoming. Remember
Yes,
that?
they were. So,
Like after that, we were kind of like, "Oh, that's."
their leading rusher was Leavitt yesterday. So,
I'm not going to sit here
I'm not
and
making predictions.
undersell them, but I've been saying about Arizona State, like you can't just short sell the fact that they lost a guy like Cam Scataboo.
Yeah.
He rushed for almost 300 yards against Mississippi State,
Yeah.
like. That's a huge piece gone. So I don't know. I'm going to dive into it a little bit this week.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not making a prediction today. I'm just saying if you want to believe, if you want to have hope, you are more than justified in doing it.
Just don't do the we believe thing.
Don't do that. No, we're not hashtagging anything here. Number 10, whether you like it or you don't like it, Jeff Lebby's this is a defining game for Jeff Lebby on Saturday. If he wins this game, he is off and running as Mississippi State's head coach. If he loses this game, like loses a close one, there's still a lot of, well, I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be. If it gets blown out, it's going to be a lot of, well, man, maybe not. All right. He can have everybody in his corner. Because if State wins this game, right, obviously they're going to beat Alcorn. And then you're not going to have any worries going into Northern Illinois, right? You'll have shaken off. I brought this up on Sports Talk. So you remember 2016, State loses to South Alabama to start the year, right? And then later that year, they played up at UMass, and that game was really, it was closer than it should have been, right? Then they played BYU and lost. Then they played Samford, the FCS team, and that game was way closer than it should have been, right? Samford had almost 500 yards of offense.
Ugh.
And you're just thinking, you're like,
We
God.
were all expecting State to lose that game.
Yeah. And so you're just like, oh my God, when is it gonna be back to normal? First game of 2017, they played Charleston Southern and they won 49-0, and you were like, okay. It's all right now. We're gonna be okay. Yesterday's game is something similar to that. If State could have gotten one more touchdown, we would be sitting here like, okay, they're okay. They're fine. I still think they're fine, but you can define some stuff pretty early in the season if you can get a win here. And you can put yourself in a position where you're going to be a bowl team if you get a win here. This is a defining game for Jeff Levy. Don't undersell it.
It is a massive game.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about it from an, a perspective or a perception standpoint. Everybody, for the most part, in the country starts to change their opinion of you. And right now, the opinion of Mississippi State is the same opinion that you and I have had of Vanderbilt for a long time. People outside this conference
They think
and inside it,
they think
when
they're
they start talking about the worst teams in the SEC and their jokes that they make,
You're
Mississippi
the butt
State
of
is
them.
the one that's been
Yeah.
brought in that conversation. Not Vandy,
Yeah.
Kentucky sometimes, not Arkansas, but the state.
Yeah.
You beat a team on ESPN2 that's a college football playoff team last year. They're top 12 in the country this year with a quarterback coming back that's got a ton of experience that has a little bit of buzz around him. If you beat that team, people start to talk about you a whole lot differently. And we start to change our opinion of this program too and where Jeff Lebby's going. They have not had a marquee win.
No.
The last year, and we were talking about that team last year, we had a conversation in the summer about the first year head coaches. Like, they always had a win, even if their season wasn't great, they always had a win in there that was kind of defining or a marquee win. State did not have that last year. Jeff
Yeah.
Lebby was the first guy since before Rocky Felker that didn't have a marquee win in that first season. Sylvester Croom did. Jeff Lebby did not. This would be his first real big win. You know, right now you're hanging your hat on Southern Miss. That's not great.
Yeah, you gotta have a little bit more.
It's time for him to do that. It's t you got this new atmosphere that you're debuting. Fans are excited. I think there's going to be a big crowd there. I would say 50,000
Should be
would be a
over
nice
50.
number. That would be a good number. I think that'd be a good number for a team that was 2-10 last year. You have a big crowd. Everybody's going to be juiced up. It's national television. You're going to have, you know, people made fun of the LED lights. You're not playing night games. Well, the first game here is a night game, and you got a chance to showcase it.
Yeah.
So the atmosphere is going to be live. You got a new team. You have a new spirit about you. This would take Mississippi State a long way. And make no mistake about it, they're going to face a lot of adversity this year with the schedule, and they might only win five games if they win these first four. But getting these first four here feels so huge for this team moving forward. You're trying to sell your program to recruits, to the transfer portal. You're trying to tell people that you're moving in the right direction. This Saturday is the perfect opportunity to do that. A Power Four team that was in the playoff last year, you got a chance to beat them. They got to find a way.
We'll see if they do. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother, two of our favorite restaurants in all of the city of Starkville. This weekend, if you are headed to Starkville for football, Two Brothers is a great game day spot, as is the Older Brother. Easy walking distance to the stadium from the Cotton District. You enjoy a great meal, watch some football during the day, and then head over to Davis Wade Stadium that night. But anytime you're in Starkville and you're looking for a great place to come eat, that place should be Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Brother.
You need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. You need any kind of copiers, printers, computers, laptops, whatever it is, you call Advantage Business Systems. Get a great product delivered to you. But more importantly, get the service that you need. These are machines. They will go bad. You want to know that you can make a phone call to a 601 number, talk to somebody that day, and try to get them out there to fix it that day a lot of the time as well. Why? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, the place to go is Maroon & Co. We've been seeing people talking about Maroon & Co. a lot lately, the hats that are on sale that you saw, the branded bills, interlocking MSU hats now available to you at Maroon & Co. And our Thunder 15 discount code does work with those hats. So you can save a little money on the most popular hat out there from Maroon & Co. Hoodie, it's the Dark Zone. They did announce they're doing the, what is it, Dark Zone? Is that what it's called?
Dark mode.
Dark Mode. Mode. Well, they're doing that.
Mode.
So if you need a black Mississippi State polo, a black t-shirt, a black hoodie, whatever it is, you can get that at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code Thunder15 to save 15% off regular price. Before you go to Davis Wade this weekend, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. If you got to get out in the yard this weekend, the place to be is Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Why? Because they have everything you need. You're trying to mow the grass, the best John Deere products available to you at Scruggs. If you got to work out in the garden, everything you need, tools, seeds, soil, it's all right there at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. You got projects to do around the house, all the best top names in power tools and tools are there at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. And if you're just cooking out or if you're just tailgating this weekend, the best names in grilling are at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. What's the point of this? To tell you that if you are doing anything this weekend, you need to go to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Sotelo first. They have what you want for less. An important win for Mississippi State. But let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers is brought to you by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Bexley.
Yeah, it'd be a little weird. Yeah.
Calm down, Dan. Wherever you are in our great state.
2-0.
He's off and running. Wherever you are in our great state.
You got
state,
them in your playoff.
I do. People got all mad about my playoff, that thing I sent out. They're like talking about state that I had state 4-8, and I'm just like, I made this prediction like 2 weeks ago. We had the media poll. How are you just now seeing it?
Yeah,
just wanting to get mad. Anyway, Strange Brew Coffee House would be a little weird. If you want to start your day the right way with a trip, I don't know. I don't know where I was. Strange Brew Coffee House. Coffee is for closers. For Mississippi State, I got to kind of nitpick here, but I got one. Jet sweeps to tight ends. No coffee for jet sweeps to tight ends.
You know what's funny? I had this conversation a few weeks ago with somebody. They were asking, like, have we seen a lot of the jet sweep thing? And we really haven't.
And then he runs one to a tight end.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That I would prefer not.
You got other guys. If you're trying to set something up, that's fine. But give the ball to somebody who can actually go around the end with some speed. And I love Seydou. He had a great game. 5 catches, had a long touchdown.
It's just not his
thing. It's not his thing. So, in the SEC. You know, Robbie, I make a lot of predictions, right? And I make a lot more wrong than I do right. You know, if I made them all right, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I'd be sitting on the top floor of the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. But one thing I said before the start of the season was, I don't know about Alabama. Just don't know. Buddy, I'm going to say something that I haven't been able to say about Alabama in a long, long time. They're soft. They just let Florida State push them around. And Gus Malzahn is the A team of beating Alabama. If you need to beat Alabama, and if you can find him, maybe you can hire Gus Malzahn.
Only if you need to beat Alabama, though.
Yeah. Other team's not great. But if you need to beat Alabama, you call Gus Malzahn.
Washington was a fairly tough physical team, were they not?
As I recall.
Or was that just Dylan Johnson?
Dylan Johnson was tough.
Did that make a lot of...
That might have been it, yeah.
But, like, I feel like their players were pretty physical, tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might have just been that the fact that the stars aligned and you had Rome at wide receiver and you had Michael Penix and you just had tough guys and that's how it lined up. But I don't think anybody is like super surprised about this though, other than, you know, maybe Alabama fans that just convinced themselves that things were going to continue to be what they were. You don't lose a coach like Nick Saban and just keep chucking along. I don't care how many 5 stars you're recruiting. They were clamoring about their talent, all this stuff. This guy is not Nick Saban. Nobody is Nick Saban. The reason you did what you did with Nick Saban is because you had Nick Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban, exactly.
And so whenever you see tweets like, and I'm not even really blaming Kalen DeBoer for this. Like, I think he's just... This is just the reality of the situation. When I see things like he's already lost more games than Nick Saban did against top 25 teams, that's just because Nick Saban was the greatest of all time. It's not necessarily the fact that Kalen DeBoer is a bad coach. I think he's a good coach.
Right.
But you have put yourself in this position because of what Saban did, and you have so many unrealistic fans that are expecting this program to just continue right along. And in this day and age, it's going to be incredibly difficult to do that. Georgia isn't able to do that the way that they want to do it.
Yep.
Nobody's going to be like that anymore. It's impossible to do. You're not going to be able to retain your roster in that way. So you're going to have seasons like this, and this could be there could be some tough moments here for Kalen DeBoer.
Especially when you're not going to play tough.
And I think like this is what is rough for them. Like, they needed to win this game to give them a little bit of grace in SEC play.
Yeah, they don't have that now.
You lost to a 2-win team last season.
You can really only lose one more game.
And that's not going to happen.
If you go 9-3, you're not in. So, yeah. On the national level, I'm a big fan of the city of New Orleans. Love the city of New Orleans. Northwestern doesn't love the city of New Orleans. And John Summerall called them out on that. John Summerall says his team requested to wear their white jerseys to honor the 2005 Katrina team who played their first game against Mississippi State by wearing white jerseys in that game. Northwestern denied their request, so Summerall says, when you disrespect the city of New Orleans, you're going to run into it. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but don't disrespect the city of New Orleans. I agree, especially as a Saints fan. Don't disrespect the city of New Orleans. So Northwestern, no coffee for Northwestern this week. How dare you, sir? They're trying to do something to honor the team right after Katrina, and you say no? Why? Because it's going to be hot and humid in New Orleans. It's hot and humid no matter what you're wearing. You can be wearing nothing, and you're going to sweat.
Bunch of nerds.
Nerds. Yeah, so Northwestern, no coffee for you. All right, tomorrow's show, we'll recap Jeff Lebby's podcast, press conference. Jeff Lebby has a podcast?
No, he does not.
Can you imagine what it would be called again with Jeff Lebby?
Again, we just want to keep everything 100% inside these walls.
We're worried about the people in the building.
We want to fight like heck.
The people in the building would be the name of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Jeff Lebby's press conference, which will return the sign to us tomorrow.
On Labor Day.
To Pitt Printing. Yeah, we will be working on Labor Day. We'll be doing the sign from Pitt Printing and Signs. And of course, week two, no boy.
I'm still petitioning to have the version of the sign from Full House whenever Stephanie and her friends.
I'll see what I can
Kimmy.
Do. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, we need that.
But also,
we need the version where she's like messing up the guitar.
Yes, we will do an SEC picks and see if we can get some separation this coming week. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Hayden. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.